The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Today's daf has been dedicated by Mr. Uri Nidam, Hashem Yishmeru V'Hayehu, in honor of all the members of the Minyan, all the members of the Daf HaYomi, and in honor of the Rabbi, Tiskel Mitzvot. May he continue to succeed. Aslaha V'Arvaha B'Chol Ma'asi Yadav. Amen.
Gemara Nedarim, Daf Yod. Today's daf is being studied L'Einu Nishmat Avraham Ben Esther Ruach Hashem Tenechenu Began Eden Amen. Today's daf is being studied Refuah Shelema Shelomo Ben Miriam Refuah Shelema Yosef Ben Sarah V'Sarah Bat Rachel Enna Refana Lahem Enna Refana Lahem Enna Refana Lahem Refuah Tanefesh Urefuah Taguf Refuah Tam Kerub Alabo V'Chen Yehi Rason V'Nomar Amen. We begin today's daf on Tet Amud Sheni with the last two words on the bottom of the Amud V'Iba'et Ema. We learned in our Mishnah on Tet Amud Lishon that if a person makes a Shivu'ah, makes a Neder, and he says it in the following way, he says, I'm accepting upon myself something, K'nidre K'sherim, like the vows of the K'sherim, like the vows of the righteous people. So it says lo amar kelum. He didn't say anything, because we learned in the Gemara that the righteous people, they don't make vows, they don't accept upon themselves nezirut, they don't accept upon themselves to bring korbanot, they certainly don't make shivuot on themselves. And the reason is because they don't want to make vows, because there's a chance that chas v'shalom they're going to break the vow, so they don't want to accept upon themselves anything. So if a person says, I'm accepting it k'nidre k'sherim alai, like the vows of k'sherim is on me, or hareni, and things like that. So therefore the terminology is not a terminology, because k'sherim do not make nedarim. However, if he says k'nidbotam, if he says like their voluntary actions, that's the language he used. K'nidbotam hareni, nazir. Which means, he didn't say nazir, he just said k'nidbotam hareni. I'm accepting upon myself in the zirut kenid botam, like the donations. Or he looks at a korban and he says kenid botam alai. So we said that the tzaddikim, they do make nedavot, they do make voluntary donations. The Gemara said, how can you make a voluntary? Or the Ran is, what does it mean, a voluntary nizirut? So we explained the voluntary nizirut means that it's not voluntary in a sense, but it's sincere. That's what it means, as opposed to a neder, which is done maybe with less sincerity and less purity of thought, but the korban, of course, a person is able to bring a nedava. We said, but if a person is going to make a nedava, there's also a chance that he might delay the korban. Therefore, why is the tzaddikim not scared to donate korbanot? Because if he says, let's say, harezu korban, he designates this as a korban, we're worried that what? Maybe he's going to delay it for 3 holidays, and then he's going to be over. He said, no, it's a like a hillel. They used to donate it at the Azara of the Beit HaMikdash. He used to consecrate it, he used to make simicha on it, and then right away he used to bring it. So there was no hashash to come to Baal Tach. So we're talking about those type of tzaddikim and that type of nedaba. So it's ma'asra from our Mishnah that tzaddikim make nedavot, but they don't make nedarim. So the Gemara's question was, Mani Matnitin, who's the author of our Mishnah? So we had a machloket between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, exactly the attitude of Shlomo HaMelech towards Nedarim. To review the Machloke, it said that there's a pasuk in Kohelet, Tov Asher Lo Tiddor, Meshetiddor Velo Teshalem. It's better that you don't vow than vowing and breaking it. So Rabbi Meir understood that Tov mize umize she'enu noder kol ikar, which means better than anything is that you don't vow at all, which means no sorts of vows, which means without any exceptions. So according to the Bimi Iyer, it sounds like that the tzaddikim don't make vows at all, not nedarim and not nedavot. Whereas according to Rabbi Yehuda, he said, Tov mize umize noderu mishalem. The Biudah learned, no, the best guy, the best situation is to make vows and keep them. So it's mashma according to the Biudah that they make even nedarim. So then we have opposite views of it. According to Rabbi Meir, the tzaddikim do nothing. They don't vow. They don't even make the dabot. According to Rabbi Yehuda, it's even proper for the tzaddikim to make the darim and keep them. So who's the author of Amishnah? Because Amishnah is making a chiluk between the darim and the dabot. It's like they don't make the darim, but they make the dabot. So on yesterday's Amud, we said the Mishnah could be going like Rabbi Meir. And the Rabbi Meir, when he said that the tzaddikim don't make vows at all, that's vows, but not nedabot. And now the Gemara gives another answer. V'ibay tema, afilu tema Rabbi Yehuda. We can even say Rabbi Yehuda. Ki avki amar Rabbi Yehuda bin daba beneder lo amar. Now which Rabbi Yehuda said, that the best thing is to make a vow and keep it, he meant to make a nedaba and keep it. And the tzaddikim, they make the dabot. So he was tov mize, but the language of Rabbi Yehuda was, the best thing is noder umekayim. Noder is mashma, a neder. So the Gemara answers, teni nodev umekayim. So change it. Instead of noder umekayim, change it to nodev umekayim, and therefore he can be the author of our Mishnah. Comes the Ran, the Ran on top just explains, Rabbi Yehuda, Darish Lehu Likra'ek Rabbi Meir. Detov Mize Umize She'enu Noder Kol Ikar. Which now it comes out that the B Yehuda agrees. The best thing is don't make any Nedarim at all. Just like Rabbi Meir learned. Miu Beha Padik Alid Rabbi Meir. And this will argue with Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir, Krat Denaket Noder Wadine Nodev. Udi De Davka Noder, Ava Nodev Tov Mize Umize. The argument now, according to the Bi-Yehuda and the Bi-Mir, is the Bi-Mir says, better not to make a vow, better not to make a nedava. Whereas the Bi-Yehuda will say, no, better, the best thing is not to make nedarim, even if you're going to fulfill them. Don't do that. But to make a nedava, the Bi-Yehuda is going to say, it's good to make nedavot and keep them. So therefore, we can say the Mishnah is like the Bi-Yehuda. Comes the Gemara and says, now we're going to Gemara is going to speak out the similar things that we spoke on yesterday's daf. My shena noder dilo. What's the reason why the tzaddikim they don't make the darim? Dilma ate ba lide takala, because they might come to a stumbling block. Which means they might make a neder. And what's going to happen? They're going to break the neder, and by breaking the neder, that's going to be avon. So they don't like to put themselves in a situation. Nedabana me dilma ate lide takala. What do you mean? Even a nedaba, it might come to a stumbling block. Which means, like the case of the Qurban. He's going to make a nedaba. If he delays his Qurban, he's not going to end up bringing it to the Beit HaMikdash. He's over about ta'akhir. Says the Bi Yehuda l'tahmed, Amar Adam mevi kifsato l'azara u'magdisha v'somech aleha v'shohata. But going according to the Bi Yehuda, she said, it says a person can bring his keves, his sheep, to the courtyard of the Beit HaMikdash, consecrate it at the courtyard, make simicha, put his hands on the animal at the courtyard and slaughter it right away and bring it on the Mizbayah. Like we learned yesterday from Hillel, Hazakin, they used to do the same practice. So if a tzaddik is going to bring a Qurban in that way, it's not going to come to a problem because he's right there. He cannot delay it. He consecrated it right in front of the Beit HaMikdash. Tinach nedaba the Qurbanot. Oh good, that explains nedaba of Qurbanot. Nedaba de nizirut ma'ika lememar. Which means, how are you going to explain the nedaba of nizirut? Which means, how do you explain the nedabav? The person will accept upon himself a nedabav nezirut. There's a chance that what? That he's gonna break his nezirut. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda l'tameh d'tanya. Rabbi Yehuda omer, Rabbi Yehuda said, Hasidim arishonim hayu mit'avim la'avi korban hatat. The early Hasidim, they desired to bring a korban hatat. They wanted to bring a korban hatat, but they couldn't bring a korban hatat. You know why? But God never brings a stumbling block on their hands. So they were never really obligated Korban Chattat. Because you only have Korban Chattat if Mishogeg, you make Avon, you make a sin. But what? The Tzaddikim never makes sins. But they have a big desire to bring a Korban Chattat. They want to serve God on every way possible. And one of the mitzvot is to bring a Korban Chattat. But they never had the opportunity to bring Korban Chattat because they never sinned. So they have to figure out a way, they have to orchestrate a way how to bring a Qurban Chattat. So what do they do? Mayu Asim. Omdim umitnadivim nizirut lemakom. They would make themselves nazirim. They would say, I am going to be a nazir. Now what's the law of the nazir? If there's nazirut, he has to bring a Qurban Chattat. So therefore, in order to get them in the parasha of bringing Qurban Chattat, they would accept upon themselves
voluntary nezirut kedei sheyitchayev korban chatat lemakom. In order, they should now be obligated korban chatat lemakom. So, the Ran says on the fourth line, "Be udat l'tameh damar dekeshirin mitavin lehavi korbanot shel chuba mitoch kach." Him nodrin benazir, the kevan shele kavanazim osim mikli nedava. That's why the nezirut is called a nedava, because it's not a mandatory nezirut in the sense that they're accepting it upon themselves because of something that they did and something like that. The only reason why they're accepting upon them nezirut is so they can bring the korban chatat. So that's what it means when the Gemara says that they make nezirut on themselves as a nedava. Understand what the nedava is? Which means it's a donation. What's the nedavavid? They're trying to bring a korban chatat. So therefore, the nezirut is just a means, it's just a tool to get to the korban chatat. So that would be considered a nezirut of nedava. So now we understand a new angle why the nezirut is called nedava. Because they didn't do it for the nezirut per se. They're doing it to bring the korban chatat because they mitaved, have a ta'avat to bring korbanot chatat. The Bishavon Omer, the Bishavon says, no, I argue on you. Lo nadru benazir. The Sadiqim, they never accept upon themselves nazirut. Why? Ela arotze lavi ola mitnadev umevi. Listen, if a guy wants to bring a korban ola, he can donate a korban ola. Ola is not mandatory. He can bring ola as a nedava. Shelamim mitnadev umevi. No problem. Want to bring a korban shelamim? Sadiq can donate a korban shelamim and bring it. Toda ba'arba'a mine lachma. You have a korban toda. Korban Todah doesn't say a person, let's say, was saved from one of the four situations. He was sick and he was healed. He was in prison. He was taken out. Or he was in the Midbar. And he lost his road and he came back. Or let's say he went over the seas, in the high seas, and he was saved. So in all these cases, I have to bring a Korban Todah, and he brings 40 loaves with it. 10 of the loaves are hametz, and the other 30 loaves are matzah. There's four different types of loaves that are brought, like I said, it's 10 and 30, and he wants to bring a korban todah, so it says, mitnadev umevi. He can donate that as well and bring it. So which means, all these types of korbanot, they're subject to donating. Aval bin zirut lo itnadebu. But when it came to nezirut, they didn't get involved. Why? Kedeh shelo yikri'u chot'im. Because they didn't want to be called sinners. Because the nazir, the Torah calls him a sinner. Why? Which means he needs kapara ma'asher chata from the fact that he sinned ala nefesh. Now, what nefesh is that talking about? His nefesh. That the nazir, after he finishes his process, he needs kapara for the sin that he did to his soul. So the Gemara says, what's the sin that he did? So the Gemara is going to say the sin that he did is that he deprived himself from wine and grapes. But that doesn't say to deprive yourself of these things is permissible. So therefore, the Bishimon holds that the tzaddikim would not put voluntary nizirut on themselves just to bring a korban hatat. Let's read the Ran just to see the four types of breads that they would bring for the korban todah. Dalet minir lachma, hametz, v'gimel minim shil matzah. Halot, rikikin, and ribuchin. Those are the different types of matzot. Halot is the regular ones. Rikikin is the thin ones, the cracker ones. And ribuchin is like they would take the matzah and they would poach it in boiling water and make a matzah like that as well. Those are the three types. In any event, we have a great machloket now between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon on how the early Hasidim would act. The Yehuda says early Hasidim would accept upon themselves nezirut to bring the korban chatat, where Rabbi Shimon said no, they wouldn't do that. They would bring every other korban bin daba, but they didn't want to be called sinners, so therefore they would not accept upon themselves voluntary nezirut. So the Gemara says Amar Abaye, Shimon Asadik, the Rabbi Shimon, the Rabbi Elazar Kefar, Kulan Shita Achat Hin. The Nazir Chote Habe. All these three rabbis are of the same opinion that say the Nazir is indeed a sinner. Shimon as Sadiq with Rabbi Shimon had the Amran. Well, we just said the two opinions of Rabbi Shimon and Shimon as Sadiq.
Well, Shimon HaTzadik, we learned on yesterday's daf. Shimon HaTzadik, we said, would not eat from a korban of an Asham Nazir that became Tameh. A Nazir that became Tameh. That's Rav Yehuda's opinion. Why didn't he eat from a Nazir that became Tameh? Because he was worried that the guy might have regretted it. Why did he regret it? The guy, we're talking about, accepted upon him Nazirut because he made some sins. He said, you know what, I want to be a Nazir. Okay, so the Shimon HaTzadik said, listen, if the guy's Tahor and makes it after the 30 days, I'll eat from his sacrifice. Because for 30 days, a guy can, you know, keep his Nazirut, keep his brain committed to the Nazirut. Masha'enken, if let's say he became Tameh in the interim, now he's got to bring in Asham, and he's got to start the process over again. Shimon HaTzadik said, I'm not eating from this guy's Asham. You know why? Because probably these type of guys, they regret the Nizirut. They feel bad that they only accept the punishment for 30 days. Now they have to process and start it all over again because they got Tameh. So they probably say to themselves, I wish I never did this. So their intention really is not 100% sincere. So Shimon HaTzadik really held that to a certain extent, Nizirim are, you know, they're Chotim. They're not really too sincere. At least by the Nazir that became Tameh. Yeah. So that's Shimon HaTzadik's opinion. Now let's go to the next opinion. Rabbi Shimon, what we just said. Rabbi Shimon says that the Tzaddikim would not accept upon themselves Nazirut because they didn't want to be referred to as sinners. Now what's the third Shita? The Rabbi Al-Azhar Kefar B'Rabbi. The Tanya, Rabbi Al-Azhar Kefar B'Rabbi Omer, V'Chiper Alab Me'asher Hata Al-Nefesh. The Pasuk says, at the end of the Nazirut, he has to Mechaper on himself, the fact that he sinned on the nefesh. Now, I want you to note that this pasukov is talking about actually a nazir that became tameh. So he needs kapara for the fact that he sinned. What sin did he do? Became tameh. But the mefarshim are learning over here, if that was the case, it could just say v'chipir alad ma'asher hata. We know the case. It's talking about we became tameh to somebody. Why did it say tameh ala nefesh? So it sounds like there's two sins over here. Number one, you need kapara for what you did for becoming tameh, Mr. Nazir. But you also need kapara for the nefesh, what you did to your own self. Now what did the Nazir do to his own self? V'chi be'ezo nefesh hatazu. What nefesh did he sin against? Ela shetzi'ir atzmo min hayayin. Because you deprived yourself from wine. The Torah says you're allowed to drink wine. Who asked you now to go make a self-imposed Isurim? That's not enough what the Torah said is forbidden. Torah doesn't have enough restrictions that you have to come along and be better than the Torah. Now start accepting upon yourself more Isurim. Now the Gemara says, has a Kavahomet. The guy that just deprived himself from one pleasure of this world, wine, and he's considered a sinner. Imagine if a person deprives himself from everything, which means he doesn't eat. He just wants to fast all day. We learn over here that somebody that sits and fast is considered a sinner. Why? Because who's asking you to deprive yourself from all these things that you're allowed to eat? Now, of course, the Mefashi pointed out for certain tikkunim, a person would be allowed to fast because he has a purpose. Otherwise, that's considered praiseworthy. But the person is doing it for other reasons, not because it's mandatory, necessary for his tikkun, that of course, why should a person deprive himself from food? So the Gemara says, that is the opinion of Rabbi Al-Azhar HaKefar. Let's read the Ran's over here. Kulan b'shita ahatin. So again, we have three shitot over here that basically are saying that there's an element of nizirut that's considered sinful. But mind you, not all the opinions are the same. Because, for example, Shimon HaTzadik held that a regular Nazir is okay. He just was against the Nazir that became Tameh, he wouldn't eat from his Korbanot. Whereas the other rabbis are holding, every Nazir is considered sinful. So they all hold of the sinful aspect, but they don't hold it exactly the same. That's what the Ram points out. Look at the Ram, Kulam b'shita ahat. Miyu, lo amru mamash davar ehad. Did Shimon HaTzadik davka nazir tameh? Who should nekla chote? Not because he's depriving himself. That wasn't Shimon HaTzadik's logic. Shimon HaTzadik because he regrets. Ve'ilu l'Rabbi Shimon v'Rabbi Al-Azhar Kefar, afilu nazir ta'or nekla chote. miyukulan shavin dika het benizirut. But they all agree that this is an aspect of sin in the nizirut. So the Gemara has one more question. Gemara says v'hadin kera benazir tameh ketiv, which means if you look at Rabbi Elazar's kefas pasuk, which I told you already, it's written by a nazir tameh. It says v'chiper al alav me'asher chata ala nefesh. Now, if you're telling me that every nazir is considered a sinner because he's depriving himself, why did the pasuk call him a sinner dafka in the case where he became tameh? Even in the case where he fulfilled his 30 days of nazirut, according to Rabbi Elazar, he's still a sinner. So the Gemara comes along and says, "Mishum deshana behetu," which means the pasuk is coming to tell you that he's a double sinner. The guy gets two avonot. Number one, he makes a sin, asher chata, that he got tameh. And not only that, but he's getting the sin also because he deprived himself. So therefore, and if he didn't become tameh, he'll only get one sin. But the Torah is coming to tell you that this guy that became tameh gets a double sin on him. So look at the Ran. V'hadin kirab ben azir tameh ketiv. לרבי שמעון ורבי אלעזר הכפר פרק, דהיל לשמעון הצדיק לא קשה מדידי, כמה דווקא נזיר תמי אקרא חוטה. Correct. קודת שמעון הצדיק, this passage is very good. Because since שמעון הצדיק says the only nazir that's a sinner is a tamay one, that's why the passage writes חוטה by the nazir tamay. But according to the other rabbis that say every nazir is a sinner, why did it only write it by the nazir tamay? Next time, משום לשנה בחט, שציעיר עצמו ונטמע. He did both things. ויתורה דעל הנפש כדריש, דאם מחטא טומאה בלחוד כאמר עבד למכתב, מאשר חטא ותו לו על הנפש לעמדי. If we're just talking about the sin of Tumah, should have said, מאשר חטא. We know that the context of the pasuk is talking about. The context is talking about where the guy became tameh. מאשר חטא would have been enough. However, על הנפש means, and you need a kapara for what you did to your own nefesh. By what? By depriving yourself from the wine. Just one word from the Shita Mekubetzet. He says that even though the Ta'anit is only for one day, and the Zirut is really 30 days, so he says, but the Tsa'ar of a one-day Ta'anit from everything is greater than 30 days of just not drinking wine. So therefore, the Gemara is saying it's a kavahomer, which means if a guy from wine alone, kavahomer, a person should not deprive himself from from food on a complete day as well. Oh, he says over here from the Me'idi, Shayoshev b'ta'anit ekra choter rak b'mi she'enu tzarich lekach lerapot nafsho. He doesn't need it for spiritual healing. V'lachen noach lo she'elich b'derech ha'memutza'at, go in the middle of the road, v'niten laguf chelko tzarich lo, feed his body, k'deh she'tamsa nafsho sa'ad v'ezed l'tbodid v'lavod nashem, she'll have strength to serve God. V'lo yisagif at atzmo, do not afflict yourself עד שיהיה משחית את גופו ומבטא את כלים מהכנו. אבל אם רואה שהוא צריך לכך, אין לך מצווה גדולה מזו. You know, if his person needs it, so then already it's no question that he's able to accept upon himself. One of the Hasidic masters said to one of his students that was accepting upon himself all sorts of, sigufim and fasts and things like that. So he told the student, he said, you sinned with your eyes, so why are you punishing your stomach? Which means punish your eyes. Punish the part of the body that the sin was committed. You sin with your ears. You sin with your mouth. What are you punishing your stomach for? Your stomach is the only innocent part of your body. That's the one that's taking the brunt for the avonot. So therefore, the best way to make the tikkun of these things is to fix the limb and the part of the body that committed the sin. And from there comes the tikkun. Comes the next Mishnah and says, HaOmer. Person comes along and says, Kunam, Kunah, Kunas, Hare Elu Kenuin Le Korban. We learned in the first Mishnah in the Masechet that is what's called a kinui. When a person makes a neder, the customary way of making a neder is saying that davar ze asur alai ke korban. It would say this item is forbidden on me like a korban. But then the Gemara said that there's certain types of other languages, they're called kinuim. The way they refer to a kinui is a
equivalent.
not equivalent terms of nedarim. It's not the actual term itself, but it's equivalent. So those equivalent terms is, for example, kunam. If a guy says, kunam alai davar ze. Kunam is another way of saying that this item is like a korban to me. Or for that matter, if he says, kunah, or he says, kunas. These are words that mean korban. Now we go to the next part. Herek, herech, heref, hare'elu kinuim leherim. These are kinuim for haramim. For example, a person wants to consecrate something to the Beit HaMikdash. Either to the Beit HaKabayit, that's to the treasury, or to the Kohanim. So when a person comes along and takes the object, and he says, you could say herim, that's the actual word. But the equivalent terminology would be herek, herech, herif. And that would make the item herif, that we have to give it, like I said, either to the treasury or to the Kohanim. The Gemara is going to say, depending on where you are, that's the minhag. Some of these haramim go to the Kohanim, and some of them go to the treasury of the Beit HaMikdash. Depending on where you are, we'll wait for the Gemara to tell us when and what. But these terminologies are equivalents. No, no, no. These words mean these words mean herem. Nazik, naziyah, baziyah. Hare elu kinuyin linzirut. Which means a person could come along and say, hare ani nazir. Okay. Or he could come along and say, nazik ani. Or naziyah ani. Or baziyah ani. All these terminologies are equivalent terms for nizirut. Shivuta shikuka. If a person says the word shivuta or shikuka, or noder bemohi, I'm making a neder bemohi. Mohi is another way of saying neder bemoshe. I'm making a neder of Moshe Rabbeinu. Hare elu kenuyim esvua. These are all equivalent terminologies for swearing. For this, shivuta hefetz aze alai. That's like saying, I swear that this chafetz is going to be a sutra. Or you said shikuka. Or you said noder bemohi. I'm swearing in by Moshe Rabbeinu. Mohi is Moshe Rabbeinu. Hare'elu kinuyim lishvu'ah. All these are considered kinuyim, equivalent terms for shiva. For example, let's say he says that he's making a shivu'ah b'Moshe Rabbeinu, a shivu'ah b'Moshe Rabbeinu b'kikar zeh. That what? Is that going to eat it? So that's considered a shivu'ah. So comes the Gemara now, is going to explain. Itmar. We learned this machloket already earlier on Daf Bet in the Ran. Now we're going to see it inside the Gemara. That says like this. Kinuim. Regarding these equivalent terms, that would be, let's say, kunam, kunah, kunas. These terms that we said in the beginning of the Mishnah. Right? Rabbi Yochanan omer lashon umoten. Rabbi Yochanan said they're actually the language of the Goyim. Where do they get these terms? What's kunam, kunach, kunas? These are languages of the Goyim that mean korban. So the rabbis just said, since the nedarim do not have to be said in lashon hakodesh, they can be said in any language. So therefore, since that was the language of the time that the Goyim were using, and these words meant korban, so these words also going to be valid for nedarim. Bishimon ben Akish amar lashon shebadu lahem hachamim niyot no derbo. The Bishimon says, no, these words were actually created by the rabbis. They made them up in order that a person could use them as equivalent terminologies when he's making nedarim. Now, how do you know the word shebadu means that they made up? Because the Gemara's language is lashon shebadu lahem hachamim. How do you know the word shebadu means they made up? So it says, "Vechen u omer," because it says in the Navi, "Bachodesh asher bada milibo." If you remember, by Yerovam ben Nevat, he made a holiday in Mar Heshvan. He moved Sukkot to the following month, and he caused the Jewish people to go up and worship Avodah Zarah. So it says, in the month that he made on his own, there's no month, there's no holiday in Heshvan. So therefore, the month that he made a holiday on his own, Shebada Melibo, he made it up. So you see, the word Shebada means to make up. Only reason why the Gemara is bringing this pasuk is just to qualify the word shibadu. So you see the word shibadu is they made up. Okay. So the Gemara says, why would the rabbis make kinuim? Which means, I understand if that's the language of the goyim. Oh, that's their language. I have no problem. So the guy says, kunam, kunach, kunas, he's saying kurban. That this item is asut to me bikunam. I understand that. That's the language of the goyim. But if you're not saying it's the language of the goyim, according to the Shtakish, why would the rabbis go out of their way to create new words? What was the matter with the word kurban? Kurban is a good word. So the Gemara says, de lo lema kurban. They don't want you to say the word kurban. So the Gemara says, velema kurban. Say kurban. What's the problem with the word kurban? Says, dilma amar kurban la Hashem. Now we're worried that the guy's going to say Hashem's name, kurban la Hashem. Because that's how you make the neder. You say, listen, davar ze asur halai ki kurban la Hashem. So the Gemara says, velema kurban la Hashem. So what? Say the good. That's exactly what we want you to say. Kurban Hashem. That's the terminology. Now Gemara says, Dilma Amar Hashem, Velo Amar Kurban. We're worried that the guy might say the reverse. He might say Hashem. He might put Hashem first, and he's not going to say Velo Amar Kurban. He's not going to end up saying the word Kurban. And he's going to end up saying God's name in vain. So therefore, they said, you know what? Let him just don't even. When you say the word Qurban, everybody knows Qurban Hashem is attached. So the Qurban leads you to Hashem. So once you're in the Qurban head, you might say the Hashem, Qurban. But we worry you might just say the Hashem alone, and you can leave it. So then you say, you know what? Sidestep the whole Qurban word. Say Kunam, Kunach, Kunas. And that'll get you not to say Hashem's name. And if you won't say Shem Shamayim, the Batala. The Gemara says how stringent Shem Shamayim, the Batala is. Why? V'tanya Rabbi Shimon Omer. Minayin, how do we know? Shelo yomar Adam, lahashem ola, lahashem mincha, lahashem toda, lahashem shelamim. How do we know that when a person is making a neder or a nedabat to bring these korbanos, he shouldn't say Hashem's name first? To Hashem, I'm bringing a korban. How do you know you shouldn't do that? Tamud lomar korban lahashem, because when the Torah says to bring a vow, it says first korban. Lashem. So they're saying, even when you're bringing a korban and you're doing a mitzvah, you should be careful not to say Lashem korban, because we're worried that you might end up just saying Hashem's name alone, and you might not say the word korban. It's going to be Shem Shemayim Batal. Then we have to say korban Lashem. So the Gemara says Bekal Vachomer. Now we can make a Kal Vachomer. Uma ze shalonet kavene laski Shem Shemayim korban. This guy over here is a tzaddik. He's only trying to say God's name by a Qurban, Amra Torah Qurban Hashem. And still, we don't want you to say Hashem Qurban. We want you to do it Qurban Hashem so you don't come to make a mistake. Imagine if a guy's just coming to say the name. He's come to say it freely without any purpose at all. Which is, even when you're coming to do a good thing, be careful. Don't say Hashem Qurban. Because you might end up saying Hashem. And if you do that, then it's Batalah. Even though the guy's intention was for a good thing, still we want to make it safe. Kal v'chomer, if a guy just comes along and says Hashem's name alone, so then you're saying God's name in vain. So therefore, you see how careful. So therefore, the Gemara is saying the rabbis created terminologies so you don't have to say the word korban. Now you say kunam. You don't have to say kunam Hashem. No one says kunam Hashem. That's not the statement. Korban Hashem. So to get the Hashem out of the terminology, so you'll never come to say it lebatala. Kunam alay davar ze, kunas alay davar ze, etc. The Rishonim over here ask a few questions. The first question they ask is, if you're really supposed to say Hashem's name second, because they don't want a person to say Lahashem, and then not end up saying the word Korban, or Ola, Hatat, Shelamim, what about the Kohen Gadol and Yom Kippurim? We learned in Masechet Yomah that when he would draw the lotteries for the two Se'irim, the Se'ir Lahashem and the Se'ir Azazel, so he would raise his hand up and say, Lahashem Hattat, that this one is designated for Hashem Hattat. I sang Hashem's name first. So some of the Mefarshim answer, that's what the Shalmen Darim says, that we're not worried about the Kohen Gadol and Yom Kippurim that's going to come and say Shem Shalom Batala. He says, Sheken Yom Hu Melumad Ben Nisim V'Chvod Hashem Chofef Alav.
So listen, the day is a miraculous day. God is with the Kohen Gadol. It's not going to let him let it happen. The Shalmei Nedarim gives a different answer, and he wants to say that in that case over there, all the Kohen really has to say is Lashem. So that's not considered the Batala, because that's the terminology. The Hatat is just extra, so therefore we're not worried about Shem Shamayim, the Batala. But there's an interesting Midrash. The Midrash says, on the Pasuk that the Gemara quoted, says, Adam ki yakriv korban Lashem. So from here we learn that what? The terminology is supposed to be korban Lashem, and not Lashem korban. So it says, Hahu dikhtiv. This is what it means in the Pasuk, ki lo yada ha'adam et ito. From here we see a person does not know his time. And the Mefashim ask, what does one thing have to do with the other? Ki adam ki yakriv korban Lashem, a person doesn't know his time. So it's based on this Gemara. The Gemara says that what? That a person should not say Lahashem Korban, because what are we worried about? That after he says the word Lahashem, he might not finish the word Korban. Why not? How much seconds does it take from the word Lahashem to say the word Korban? So we're worried that something might happen to the person in between the word Lahashem and Korban, where he's not going to be able to finish it. Which means from 1 second to the other, he might not be able to finish his sentence. And that's what the Pasuk is saying. Adam ki yakrib korban Lashem ki lo yada adam et ito. He doesn't know his time. Which means a person, in just 1 second, between the words Lashem and korban, could lose his ability to finish the sentence. So that's why he's saying, Musar ki lo yada adam et ito. Therefore say korban. So if something happens after the word korban, he didn't say it lebatala. So with this, they answer a question by Boaz. What happened by Boaz? My Boaz, he used to go greet the Kotzerim, like it says in the Megillah too, Hashem Emachem. So the question I ask is, Hatam Sofer says, what do you mean Hashem Emachem? We're learning over here, he should have said Emachem Hashem, because he shouldn't say Hashem's name first. So he says, no, the whole reason is why Kilo Yada Adamit Oito. But Boaz knew from Ruach HaKodesh that he's going to have to marry Ruth. So he knew that until he marries Ruth, he's not going to die. So therefore, since he knew his time, he knew that he can't die till after he goes with Ruth. So therefore, at least until that point, he was able to say Hashem Mechim, because you want to say Hashem's name first. That's kavod to say Hashem's name first. You only don't say it first because of the hashash of mitah. But since Boaz knew, at least he has to live until he consummates the mitzvah with Ruth, because he saw Mashiach's going to come out of him. So therefore, he was able to be lenient. Comes Gemara continues. Lema ketana'e. Let us say that this mahloket between Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish is actually a mahloket amongst the Tanaim. What is the mahloket of Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish? Legabe, all these kinuim, all these terminologies of Nedarim, who made them up? According to Rabbi Yochanan, these are the Lashonot of the Goyim, and according to Rish Lakish, it's Lashon Shebadu Lahem Hachamim. So we want to say those were Amoraim. Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish were Amoraim. We want to say that the mahlok between Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish is actually a mahlok between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, who were Tanaim. So that says, Lema ketanae. Let's say that it's a mahlok Tanaim. Why? Beit Shammai omrim, Kinuye kinuyin asurin. Or Beit Hillel omrim, Kinuye kinuyin mutarim. So now we go to the next grade. We go to Kinuye kinuyin. That's the, you have the actual terminology. Then you have, let's say, the equivalent terminology, then you have the equivalent to the equivalent terminology. That's called kinuyeh kinuyim. So there you have a mahlok, Beit Shammai says asurin. That's also considered a lashon. And Beit Hillel says no. So my love, we want to make the mahlok like this. We don't know really what the mahlok Beit Shammai Beit Hillel is based on. We want to say it like this. Man damar kinuyeh kinuyim asurin. Beit Shammai kasabar kinuyin lashon umoten. I'll say that what? That all these kinuyim are actually languages and terminology of the goyim. So just like kinuyim are terminology of the goyim, kinuyeh kinuyim also their terminology. So what's the difference? Whatever the terminology of korban is, whether it's a kinuyeh, whether it's a kinuyeh kinuyim, it's going to be asur. But the man damar mutarim, Beit Hillel, that says that kinuyeh kinuyim is mutar, kasabal lashon shibadu lehem hachamim. That the rabbis made these languages. And the rabbis only established kinuyim, but they didn't establish kinuyeh kinuyim. So therefore that could be the mahlok Beit Shammai Beit Hillel, the mahlok between the Yochanan and the Rish Lakish. Kibbara says, lo, I can tell you no. Everybody holds the kinuim is the language of the goyim. So why is Beit Shammai then, if you say it's lashon umot, So therefore, Bet Shammai Savri Behani Nami Mishter Umot. And Bet Shammai says that these Kinuye Kirim, also the Goyim, use this terminology as well. That was going to be Asur. Bet Savri Behani Lo Mishter Umot. Bet Hillel says that even though it's Lashon Goyim, but they really don't use these terminologies that much, therefore, those terminologies are not going to be for fit for a Neder. So you cannot make the Mahlok of Bet Shammai Bet Hillel dependent on the Mahlok of Yohanan and the Shlakish. I can tell you really what, Bet Shammai Bet Hillel say what, the Kinuyim are from the Goyim. But what? But Shammai just holds even Kinuye Kareem also Lashon Goyim that they use. Therefore, it's going to be Asur. But that says, yeah, it's Lashon Goyim, but really they don't use it that often. Therefore, it's not going to be Asur. I can tell you a different interpretation. But Shammai Savre Gazlina and Kinuye Kinuyim Mishum Kinuyim. But Savre Lo Gazlina and Kinuye Kinuyim Mishum Kinuyim. Which means, again, I can tell you that everybody holds that the Kinuyim really is Lashon Goyim. What's the logic of Bet Shammai? Bet Shammai will tell you that Kinuyim is from the Goyim, but we're going to make a gezera on Kinuye Kinuyim, Atu Kinuyim. And Bet Hillel is going to say, no, we're not going to gozer Kinuye Kinuyim, Atu Kinuyim. So the machloket is, do you make a gezera or not? Lahalacha, the Ran says on the third line, Vekai Malan, Kereb Yohanan. So the Ran is posek like Yohanan, Damar Lashon Umotim. That's very important, which means now we know whatever country you're living in, you have to know the language that they speak to know how they say Qurban. The guy says sacrifice or things like that. That's according to Yohanan. It's hal. Vekai Malan Named, the Kinuye Kinuyim Mutarim. And we also hold, like Bet Hillel, that only Kinuyim are Asur, but Kinuye Kinuyim are going to be Mutar. Comes the Gemara continues. Dindarim. Okay, now we got to, what are they? What are all those terminologies by neder? By kinuye kinuyim. Tani Rav Yosef. Mekan mana, mekan hana, mekan sana. Those terminologies, the kinuye kinuyim. Hechidame kinuye kinuyim dehirim. Because right, the Mishnah gave the terminology of kinuye of hirim. Now what's the kinuye kinuyim? Tane mefeshaa. That's the rabbi's name, if Asha is his name. Harakim, Harachim, Harafim. Kenuye Kenuim din Zirut. Tanir of Yosef, Mehaskana, Menazhana, Mefihana. Ibailu, Mifhazana, Mai. Mithazana, Mai. Mithazana, Mai. Gemara has a question on these terminologies. If it's going to be a lashon for kinuye kinuyim, which is according to those that are osir, maznaha, what was maznaha? Maznaha, manzahana was a language for nizirut. So therefore they wanted to know what about mitzahana and all these other terminologies as well. The Gemara has another question. Amar le'Rabbi Nachman Rav Asher, chinma mai. Which means we said that one of the terminologies for Nizirut is what? Kunam. Let's say a person says, Kinma. So the Gemara says, Kunam ka'amar is Kinma like Kunam. Or Dilma kinemon besim, kinemon bosim ka'amar. Kinemon bosim is a spice. And therefore he's saying nothing. It's not a lashon of Nizirut at all. It's a spice. Cinnamon. Amar le Rav Habere de Rav Chiya, de Rav Asher. Kina mai. Right? When a guy says, let's say kina, what is kina? Kina shatan negodim ka'amar? Maybe it's a chicken coop. What's a kina? A chicken nest. O dilma lashon de kunam. Yomara says, teba'e. Yomara says, these are our questions. Now, kinuye kinuim de shbu'ah. We said it's also kinuim of the kinuim of shbu'ah. What are they? Hachidame. Shevu'el, shevuti'el, shekuka'el. Which means the guy says, Shekukael Kikar Ze Alai. That's if he's saying Shivu'ah, that I'm not going to eat this. So the Gemara says one of the terminologies is Shivu'el. So the Gemara says Shivu'el? Shivu'el ben Gershom Mashma. Shivu'el is the name of a person, the son of Gershom. Moshe Rabbeinu's son was Gershom. Gershom had a son called Shivu'el. So therefore, the Shivu'el is not a Mashma, the son of Shivu'ah. It's Mashma, the son of Gershom. The Gemara says Ela Shebuba'el. Shebuti'el. Shekukael, that's the Gemara's question. not mahu. The bach takes out the word mahu because that's not a question. But I'm saying these terminologies are indeed the kinuim of shivua.
Yeah.
Okay. Amar Shmuel, amar as shivta lo amar kelum. If he said as shivta, that's not a terminology at all. Ashkika lo amar kelum. Kardincha lo amar kelum. Okay, those terminologies are nothing at all. Nadar bemohi. Hare elu kinuim. Which means if he's made a neder, bemoshe rabbenu. Mohi is Moshe rabbenu. So he says, I mean, I'm noder, a neder, like Moshe rabbenu. That's considered a shivua, and it's hot. So the Gemara says, Rabban Shimon Omer, ha omer bemohi. If he just said bemohi alone. Lo amar kelum, bemomata de amar mohi. But if he says in the shivua of Moshe Rabbeinu, had elu kinuim nishvua, which means bemohi alone is nothing. You have to say alashon meaning shekuka bemohi. You have to say alashon shivua with the word bemohi. But if you just say bemohi alone, it's nothing. Look at the Ran. Tanya, fourth line. Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, Nadar Bemohi. Mohi is Moshe. Lo Amar Kelum. Bemomata de Amar Mohi. In the Shivua that Moshe said, Hareo Kelim the Shivua. Vaki Perusho, the Rashbag. The Perush Matnitin Ata. It's coming to explain the Mishnah. Dechi Katarin Nadar Bemohi. When it says Nadar Bemohi in the Mishnah, Lo de Amar Bemohi Bilhud. You didn't just look at the loaf of bread and said Bemohi. Ochilze. Ela de amar bemomata de amar mohi. Momata means the shivua. Bishvua she amar Moshe. Kikarzu. Kebamar. Bishvua she nishba Moshe. Kedichtiv. Vayoel Moshe la shiv ta'ish. We learned that when Moshe Rabbeinu stayed by Yitro, after he ran to Yitro, so he made a shivua to Yitro. The Gemara says that the shivua was b'lashon vayoel. That's lashon shivua. His shivua was that the first son that he's going to have, he's going to give to the Avodah Zarah, and let him find his own way. Umishumache tenan nadar bemohi. What is nadar bemohi? The ilu amar. Now he changes this the girsa to shivuta. Those are the kinuim. Shivuta shikuka bemohi. Have mashma damar bemohi bilhud. Umishumache tenan nadar. להשמעין הדברים שיזכיר נדרו של משה איננו שבועה. והיינו דקאמר רבן שמעון מגמליאל, במומתה דאמר מוי. Which means, it's not enough to say, שקוקה, שבועה, and all that. You have to come along and say, the words, במומתה דאמר מוי. Which means, שקוקה כיכר זה עליי, whatever כיכר זו, במומתה דאמר מוי. In the שבועה that Moshe Rabbeinu said, but just to say במוי, is not a terminology. ואנו תקאמר בצ'וק גם נהיה, במומתה דאמר מוי. Okay, fine. ברוך הנועה לעולם. אמן ואמן.